Hi everybody and welcome to This Woman Can. Now, something a little different this week. As you know, I'm all about pushing the narrative around the working women and how you get ahead as a leadership, as a leader in your career. So over the next few weeks, I'll be participating in a limited series. It's called The New Normal and The Working Woman. Both on LinkedIn and Facebook Live. It's brought to you by This Woman Can, the platform for professional women of colour to network and elevate their careers. Within those shows, we'll be discussing the issues impacting working women in the pandemic climate. And in this first episode I'm sharing with you today, we're going to explore whether it's possible to be a successful working mother in a COVID climate. My guests and I discuss the challenges facing working mothers and also provide strategies and solutions that they can use to overcome them and maintain their careers. Each week we'll be tackling a different topic, all pertinent for working women navigating this new paradigm. But the great thing about this is that you can actually join in the conversation by connecting with me on LinkedIn or Facebook. All you have to do is go to LinkedIn, I am Janice Sutherland, and the same on Facebook, I am Janice Sutherland. We'll be recording the shows, going live, but you can add your voice. I'm so delighted to be doing this and so delighted to be further tackling those issues that impact working women every day. So feel free to join the conversation. Feel free to send me feedback about the episode or any points you found relevant to you. And also, feel free to share on your network, within your network, and follow me on social media and also give the show a thumbs up, because that's how we get the show out there to other women. Now, don't forget, you can also join, if you want to join the This Woman Can network, all you need to do is head over to www.thiswomancan.coach. It's free to join, but the knowledge you'll gain is priceless. Look forward to meeting with you. And don't forget, if I can, you can, this woman can. Take care.
Hey, welcome to my first LinkedIn Live here, live on LinkedIn, obviously. My name's Janice Sutherland, and if we have not connected before, let me introduce myself. I am an award-winning leadership development expert based here in the wonderful Twin Island state of Antigua and Barbuda. I am the founder of This Woman Can Network and author of the best-selling book, This Woman Can, The No Bullshit Guide for Women Who Lead. And what I do is I help women and the organizations who employ them to develop the leadership skills to lead with purpose, own their power, and make their presence felt without compromising their authenticity, basically becoming leaders who they'd want to work for. Now, I was inspired to do this week's live, all around the conversation about working moms and is it successful to be a working mom in the current climate? And it was really born out of two articles I'd read, one by the wonderful, my girl crush, Carol Sankar, who's the owner, the founder of the Confidence Factor for Women. And she did a whole article, whole piece for Entrepreneur all around the motherhood recession. And what really struck it for me, let me quote you what she said here, was that whilst it's not that working mothers do not want to go back to work, it's that there are limited childcare options available to ensure they can return to work. For many working women, their career represents a part of their identity. The issue that politicians, employers, and decision makers continue to ignore is that women realize they can have it all, or maybe not all at the same time. However, they don't want to be forced to start over due to unforeseen circumstances out of their control, which I thought was a great piece to quote. And on top of that, we've seen lots of reports. Let me quote this from the UK report that said UK mothers are 1.5 times more likely than fathers to either have lost their job or quit since the lockdown began. That mothers combine paid work with other activities far more than fathers do, and that working women spend an average of 15 hours a week more on unpaid domestic labour than men. And while fathers tend to do less, they have also increased their involvement with childcare. So lots of things that were out there that were talking all about the conversation about, you know, working mothers. And I want to explore whether it's possible for women, working moms, to still have a successful career in the pandemic. Plus, on top of that, you have the flip side where some organizations have tried to accommodate their workers, their parents, working parents, that the other employees, non-parents, are complaining that they're not getting these perks that their parental workers do, such as extended leave or reduced working hours. So I thought it was a great conversation to explore, especially here in the Caribbean, because it's not a conversation that we have talked about or we do actually acknowledge very, very much. So I have two guests, not just me banging on all night. I have two guests here with me tonight. My first guest here is Patrice Christian-Simon. Hi, Patrice.
Hi, Janice, and hi to your audience as well.
And Patrice is Executive Director of the Antigua Barbuda Hotels and Tourism Association. She's the former Regional Marketing Manager of the Northeastern Caribbean for Digicel and mother of two. And my second guest is Julie Turney. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Janice. Thanks for having me.
Julie is HR Manager and Talent Scout Hyuna International. She's an agile HR practitioner. She's the official organizer of Barbados Chapter for Disrupt HR. She's the busiest HR practitioner that I know, and she's a mother of three. So we're going to have a conversation all around the challenges that there's been faced of being a working mother in this environment. So just trying to feel myself. There we go. That's fine. Thank you very much. So how's it been, ladies? How's it been?
It has been an interesting time, to say the least. Working from home, going back to work, because we're now back in the office, but working with the employees and making sure that they were okay, dealing with my family, doing virtual sessions like this and dealing with my children. It's been an interesting time for me, for sure.
How about you, Patrice?
I can tell you that a few years ago, I always said, you know, I want an opportunity at some point in my life where I can work from home. I want my own time. I want flexibility. And then COVID happened, as we all say. And then I got that and then some, because it was an immediate lockdown. So it wasn't just about working from home and maintaining that environment. It was about being a teacher. Yeah. And it was about being a full-time chef. And, you know, you had to manage, you know, everything and everything yourself. And the support that you once had is completely gone. No grandparents to go to rescue. So I got that and then some. So it really was an environment where you just had to adapt. Yeah. And on very quickly. So it has been a challenge, but you know, we're still going through it, not on the same level, but you know, yes, making it through for sure.
Because yeah. I was trying to put myself in this situation, because I have children, but fortunately, yes, they're grown. But I remember the challenges I used to have, that every time the summer holidays, we in the UK, we had our 6 week summer holidays, and it wasn't, we didn't look forward to, well, I personally didn't look forward to it with joy like the kids did, because all that meant for me is that I have to find 6 weeks of childcare, an additional expense. You know, not everybody ran a childcare that lasted 6 weeks. It was 2 weeks here, maybe 2 weeks there. And they didn't run for a full working day. So where are you going to get at the end of the day? So there was a whole lot of juggling. So my heart really goes out to the parents that are really juggling in this current, in this current climate. Because it's tough. It's tough. So Julie, Patrice has shared some of her challenges. Your children are slightly older, but does that make the challenge any easier?
It definitely does not. Because I have two boys and one girl, and they are between the ages of 22 and 15. And homeschool with my daughter was not an easy task at all, especially having team meetings in the morning, meetings throughout the day on Zoom, having virtual conferences to attend and to speak at. Keeping them in their room is hard. Still is hard because imagine if I'm doing speaking engagements and sometimes I'm doing two or three on any given day, and then I'm doing my podcast as well, and I'm asking them to keep quiet. It can be very challenging for them. At some point, after I finished everything, they go, "Mom, you know, like, we need to be able to be free. How's this wrong? Keeping us in our room. We're starting to feel like prisoners. Like, what are you doing to us?" So you get that, right? And so like now they're in their rooms, but I promise you at some point in time, they're going to come out. They come out for air, they come out for water or whatever. But when my daughter was home since February. Wow. So she's been home since the end of February. And when they started homeschool and I came home the end of March, she started to send me post-it notes. I never went through so many post-it notes in the office till I came home and she was at school in her room, flicking me post-it notes, asking me questions. And I'd be like, "Not now." And it was very challenging. I had to turn, I've tried this desk set up in three different directions. If I turn it this way, you can see everything. So you can see when they come out their room, when they go to the bathroom, when they come in the kitchen. And I was like, "No, can't do this anymore. I need to turn this around." And so I ended up turning it towards the window. It was too much light. There's all these kind of dynamics that you have to try to figure out about how you're going to have your home set up. And my house is fully open concept. So there's no hiding anywhere. Yeah. Now I just have to be like, "Okay, so when you go in the kitchen, just like duck a little bit. And if you come out in the living room, just duck a little bit." And so there's all of these things that you kind of have to navigate with the children. And I'm telling you, teenagers are no different. They're very grumpy. And when you're asking them to cooperate in this kind of environment, it's very challenging. And working as well, my colleagues, I must say, have been very understanding. And as I was saying to you before, sometimes I'm in the middle of something and I hear the ice cream van pass. I live with a whole family of monkeys. If I'm on an early call, you can hear them climbing, going through the trees in the back. There's a mango tree right behind here. There are about four of them through this window. And you just hear them, no matter how early the call is, between 6 and 9 o'clock, they're out there. Sitting down, eating mangoes, sitting on top of my Jeep, you name it. I've learned stuff about my neighbors I never knew before. Someone in my neighborhood makes steel pan.
Okay.
And every day between the hours of 9 and 3, all I hear is ding, 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 ding.
Julie, can I just say, you can't say anything bad about steel pans because
anything bad about it. I'm just saying, please. I discovered I have a neighbor who makes steel pans. I would have known.
Because there's a pan mom right here.
Yes.
I love steel pan, but I discovered how they make them. I don't know where this dude is, but I hear it every day.
Oh, so Patrice, you have slightly younger children, but you also had a daughter who was in the middle of taking her CXCs.
Yes. So
tell me all about that. How you know? Because again, on top of it is having the fraughtness, I suppose, for want of a better word, of getting your child to study for exam. Yeah. So talk to me about that.
Well, my daughter Morgan is 16, and my son Trent he's now 9. He turned 9 during all of this. And for Morgan, it was actually more about a psychological support for her, because she had an idea of how her exams were going to be. You know, it was just going to be a normal, I'm right here in fifth form going through CSTAT. And then all of a sudden it's now, you know, a multiple choice exam and it's only your SBA. And she went into a state of panic. So it was a huge amount of support that, you know, we had to supply to her just to get her settled and grounded. But she really took the bull by the horn, went out and started practicing and doing everything that she needed to do. So for her, it was a bit different because she found her way. For my 8-year-old now, okay, so you've probably seen a video going around on social media of, you know, a parent and a teacher and a child, and the child is like being all distracted and everything. So the parent has to be there trying to keep the child's attention to the teacher. That was me. I was that parent, you know. If your teacher's not in front of you, you're going to get distracted on the screen, you know. Yeah. And for kids that young, outside of the, you know, games that they normally have, it's the first time that they're really working with a device. Right. So for me, actually, it was a real joy to see him typing in his lessons, you know, taking his exams via Edmodo, you know. So I think he grew up a bit in the process as well. But it was really difficult trying to manage him. And the days that my daughter had exams, you know, I just stayed because I wanted, when she was done with her exam, she would come out to me. I didn't want her to go and talk and get all nervous about she should have answered that question that way. So I stayed. So I was working from my car. So I had my laptop. I would tether my phone. And if my son had classes, because he was in classes all through August, he will have my laptop and be in his Zoom class, and I'm working from my phone. And we'd be, one day we were in the car for 8 hours because she had two exams, one at 9 and one at 2. And I just never left. I just stayed on the school compound. I packed the lunch bag and we chilled out for the whole day just doing work in the car. So, you know, you just do what you have to do.
Yeah. And I suppose he sees a bit of an adventure as well.
Yes, too much of an adventure. But it was all good. We're almost on the other side of it. You know, CSEC results are out. She did very well, so we're very proud. So something worked in the whole transition.
Yes. So both of you work for organizations. Yeah. So how, and again, obviously there's obligations to the employer. So how has your employer supported you through this whole process?
Should I go? Okay.
Yeah, I thought you were going to meet yourself then.
So working in human resources, it really was, a lot of the responsibility was on my team and the management team to try our best to make sure that we got the staff home and working fully functional. And so we have our business continuity plan, and we kind of just work with that from a crisis perspective. There was a lot of moving parts that had to come into play for us. We have a corporate side of our business, but we also run a fully functioning call center that answers calls, chats, and emails. And so we wanted to make sure that we got every one of the agents home and that they were able to work as well. And so we had to go through this process of, if you have your own computer, you can bring it in. Let's put the software on so that you can work from home. We then ran a separate test for our call center to make sure everything was working and they were able to access our VPN. And then for persons who didn't have computers, we allowed them to take home their desktops. So we were very fortunate that way. And then for our corporate staff, well, most of them have laptops. For those who didn't have laptops and they wanted to take home their desktops, we allowed them to do that or work from their computers. So we really strive to make sure that everyone stayed employed during lockdown. And we put all of the necessary mechanisms in place to make sure that that happened. So for me, I must say our organization was very supportive in making sure that employees were able to continue to work successfully while we were in the lockdown phase. And even now, coming out of lockdown for us, we still have like a maybe 60-40 split where we have like 60% of our team still in the office and then 40% still working from home. And we've given more flexibility for people to be able to continue to work from home. So we really have worked very hard to make sure that persons could continue to work with that. You know, comes the Zoom in, Zoom out, the Google Meets. And so we've been using a lot of that technology in order to continue to communicate with our team. And then also we use Slack, which is an internal communication. But I really love Slack because there are lots of other extensions that you can add to Slack for polling, for regular communications on pulse checks. We have a gratitude wall so staff can post, you know, that they're what they're feeling grateful for, whether it's shouting out another employee or whatever the case may be. And we did a lot of other stuff to just keep the staff engaged while we were home. We did cooking sessions, we did workouts online, and we did a virtual lunchroom. So someone came, they cooked their meal, they sat down and they ate with us, they walked us through how they prepped for the meal, and we learned how to make quite a few things. I learned how to make Trini Bakes. I learned how to make curry. I learned a lot of things during lockdown that I didn't think were possible. So I think it just shows us that, you know, we were able to be resilient and pivot and keep. I'm grateful, extremely grateful that we were able to keep the staff home and working and everyone kept their jobs.
Right, right. And Patrice, you kind of have a double fold because obviously you work for the association, but the association then, I suppose, supports a myriad of hotels across Antigua and Barbuda. So how were you supported, and what have you seen maybe some of the hotels do to support their staff or maybe the working moms as well?
Mm-hmm. I mean, for our organization, it's a small one. For the Hotel Association office, all women, but we were 100% supported by our board of directors. It was essentially, you know, get home. You know, we had our remote access to our desk, and everyone settled in. I got some great ideas from Julie just now, so thank you. I took note. I'm going to contact you a couple of things. But from the initial onset and speaking with my team, it was essentially you get to the point of coming out of the mindset that we have that you physically have to see someone come in, check in at 8 o'clock and check out at 5 because you have this measure of control over them. And my message to my team was simply that I don't care how you get the job done, just get it done. I remember a few years ago, I met a gentleman from Trinidad, and his office was being downsized. And in that discussion, you know, he said to me, you know, everyone wants their time and their space to be able to, you know, if you want to leave at 8 a.m, take your kids to school, come back, start work at 11, you know, maybe get back to your computer at 6 o'clock. But if there's a deadline for that day, all I need to know is that you're going to meet that deadline. Yeah. And I remember that conversation, and I just took the same concept to the team because I have one other mom, you know, with a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old, you know, and I said to her, I know you need the time. So I know between 8 and 2, you're in Zoom classes with the kids. So you log on after, and anything that the team needs from you, they will submit it during that time. Don't expect anything from you because you're going to check it a little later in the afternoon. So it's just making those types of accommodations, and it's really what we have encouraged with the wider hospitality industry as well. We all had to make those changes, and yes, there are many negative things about COVID-19, but it has really made business up but think quite differently. There's a great deal of trust as well that you have to place in the employees. I mean, I have a fantastic team, and even though we're working unlimited hours, everyone gave 150% to make sure we met the members of the association. And that's because they had the flexibility. You know, they checked out when they had to check out. And then when they had to check back in, they did what they had to do. So they've been positive. And I see it continuing from sometime. Even today, I say to the team, it's 3 days in office for us to physically be here. The rest of the time is work from home. So you tell me which 3 days you will be in office, and we just rotate to make sure the office functions.
Yeah.
And the other days you work from home. That's a great sense of belief that you can manage your home in this difficult time. We all have things happening outside the office we have to manage.
Yeah,
feel strain on everyone.
few things I want to pick up there. First, I want to say to everybody tuning in, we've got Nameen, Maxine, Andrea. Feel free to post a question to the panel. We may not have the answers, but we'll have a good try at trying to give the answers. So post the questions. Now, back to Patrice. A couple of things I picked up on there. One was the element of trust. The one thing I found working in the Caribbean is that, like you say, there's this illusion, myth, or you know, that you know you're working at your, if you're working your desk 9 to 5, then I know you're working. When in reality, you know, you could be playing Candy Crush all day. You know, there's not a focus on productivity. So I think there's been a big push. It's been a big push for some leaders to transition to the thought that trusting my staff because I can't see them. So that's the one thing. So that's great. You've had that experience. I'm not sure how well some others would have transitioned. And then just adding to that, do you think being a woman and having that empathy and knowing what it's like to having that responsibility of raising the children made you think differently as a leader in that capacity?
Perhaps. I think it's just like in any organization, you go in and you place a mark on it based on your own experiences. And I think perhaps my mental space was a little different because I was going through the same thing. So yeah. In a way, I'm just trying to figure out, I've already mapped out the challenges very quickly, and I was able to adapt it. But I must say, I mean, the chairman of my board is, you know, a gentleman, and he was the first. Even now, he says to me, you know, everyone's safety is priority. I know you guys are in the office 3 days a week, you know, not have everyone out there at the same time. We're still going through this. So his thought pattern was the same because, of course, he is, you know, a dad and a husband as well. So, I don't think you necessarily needed to be a woman to be able to transition through this, but at least be in an environment where someone understands that these challenges can exist. And luckily for us, we were in a space where all of our directors and the team leaders understood what was happening.
Fabulous, fabulous. What about you, Julie? Did you see is it a difference? Do you think there's been a difference for you handling the situation, being a woman, or did it not make a difference?
I think it didn't really make that much of a difference to me because, like I said, being in the space that I'm in, of HR, I do believe it's important to have a people-first culture and to be people-centric. So for me, it comes naturally to want to empathize with the people that I'm working with and the people that I work for, because I believe that being in the HR space, I work for people. I work for the people in my organization and I work with them. So for me, it's important to come from a place of empathy. What I will say that shone through for my organization is our director of operations, he's a man. Our CFO is a man. Our head of legal is a lady. But this is our core management team. And I must say that the men who we work with and who we work for really were very supportive when it came to ensuring that the staff got home and that they were able to function. And they were really concerned about ensuring that anyone who was high risk didn't come back right away. Anyone who lived with a family member who was high risk didn't come back right away. We had one employee who actually was diagnosed with COVID-19 out of a staff of 115. And then they were also very concerned about that person's well-being and them going into isolation, then coming out of isolation and how their family was dealing with that. And they were constantly asking. So I've got to say that they really showed up. They really stepped up. I think that as women, we come from a natural place of empathy.
Yeah.
And that's something that we have to put to the test when we are expressing to our male counterparts things that they need to be taken into consideration. And I think you come from that place, as Patrice said, where they are men, yes, but they're either husbands or their fathers, their brothers, they're somebody's child. Yeah. So they have female interaction at some point, and just helping them to appreciate that females go through these things differently, and just putting them in that space of what to expect versus what not to expect.
And I'm glad you touched on the men then. I wish there was some men tuned in, because I'd love to have them answer the question. But one of the reports I read by the IDB was a report, is based on the Caribbean, some Jamaica, Guyana, I think Barbados may have been, it was Bahamas. But they talked about how one of the things I looked at was the responsibilities had changed for women. And what they found was that the majority of women shoulder the responsibilities for the elderly and the responsibilities for childcare. And even though at the top of the program I said that in the UK some men said they'd stepped up, conversely I read a report that men, when asked if they'd stepped up to responsibilities, they said they took on 50%, but if you ask their partner, the partner said it amounted to more like 3%. So there's a real disparity there as to who took on the responsibilities. Mm-hmm. So during this whole period, did you see your childcare responsibilities increase, stay the same, or, you know, how did that move?
Well, I think this environment tested every part of your life, because you are now locked down, with your husband, with your partner, and you have to figure out, you know, how this is going to work. So for myself, for my husband, it was, I wouldn't say taking on the full responsibility for one person, because sometimes as women, we do tend to take the load. We automatically think that we can do it all. And I am victim to that. My husband is somewhere nodding yes. Because, we feel that, we can do it all. But it was really, I think it was a moment, now that you're kind of locked down together, just to kind of work through those things and really say, I need help. This is what we're going to do. We're going to work it through. It's not always an easy conversation if you're just used to, going and driving and getting it done. But I think it was, healthy for couples to really try to find a balance, because this was an environment that would burn you out. One of the things that I don't think we have done well as an organization is that psychological support for persons, not just women, along the way. I can tell you now, I'm tired. I ain't gonna lie, I'm quite, it's a lot, because we've been moving and we haven't stopped moving. It was an opportunity to test those boundaries and have your own little, therapy sessions in your home to make sure the balance was right. Everyone needed support.
Yeah. And you, Julie?
Yeah, I have to agree with Patrice there. I think there's that tendency for us as women to think that we will do it all, because we are women, hear us roar.
But it's the strong black woman narrative, it's the superwoman narrative, it's all that, which I am like so against, because we cannot.
No.
We can't.
No.
And we spend a lot of time trying to.
Yes.
And as Patrice said, we end up burning out. I'm guilty. I think we all are, because we've been told that's what was. Yeah, we all put our hands up.
You're not gonna put my hands up. Here's why. So I think one of the things that Patrice said just now is truly key to the success of your getting through this. As an organization, one of the things that we saw really pertinent for our employees was to enhance our employee assistance program. And so we always had an employee assistance program, but what we did was ensured that they were able to give virtual support. So we have our outsourced psychologists, therapists, and we gave staff the opportunity to say, okay, look, if you feel like you need help, let us know and we'll pass you on, because as HR, I am not a psychologist. My degree is not in psychology by any stretch of the imagination. There are lots of things that happened from an HR perspective during COVID that I saw my people in a completely different light. And I saw a lot of dads step up. I remember one employee who is a dad, and he's a young dad. That he has a 2-year-old. and you would see him having Zoom meetings with the little boy under the table and right by his foot, you know, you catch him running around the house, and he actually had to change his hours of work just so he could deal with the little boy during the day, because at some point they found out that his wife was expecting. I did say there would be a lot of COVID babies. And so, you know, you really saw people in a completely different light. And I remember at one point him saying to me, "Julie, I am exhausted, completely spent." And, you know, having those conversations, offering virtual coffees to support my people during COVID-19, I really saw that as key. But I also recognize I am a huge advocate for taking time. I'm a huge advocate for self-care. And so between March and now, I am actually now on vacation, a full vacation for 2 weeks. So today's the start of my vacation. And I'm taking it because I know that I need that time. I know that I do a lot, and it's important for me to take that time when I need it. But I remember when my children were a lot smaller and the demands that they brought on me being small babies, and they were all very close in age. My last two are 18 months apart. My first child is 5 and 7 years apart from the other two. And there were times that for me, from a mental health perspective, I didn't feel safe with myself. Mm-hmm. And I thank God that they're still here, 22, 15, and 17, and they're still alive, even though there were moments that I didn't feel safe with myself. I kid you not.
Yeah,
I'm blessed my husband for all that he went through with me during those years when they were younger and I felt like I was losing my mind. And I know that there are a lot of people. So I recognize now the importance of self-care. So when my body says, "Julie, chill," I chill. I shut it right down. Yeah. When my body says, "Go do something else," I get up and I go do something else, because thank God for therapy, helping me to recognize that I can't do it all, that I have to learn to say no to certain things, and I got to take a break when I need to take a break. Yesterday, I spent the day with my team. We did a team event. We went to a hotel for the day and just had fun. Just listening to the waves alone was calming for me.
Yeah.
So I have recognized from a mental health perspective, I got to shift it up. I got to change it up. So that's why I say I can't put up my hand, because I've learned over time.
Well, we were talking about in past, because we are recovering. So I would say, because and I'll just go a question. One of the questions for me, we had a question. Amin asked, what self-care measures do the panelists do during a time like this? And I think, Julie, you've answered it.
Hold on. I'm gonna add to that. So
okay.
Right. Okay. So here's I'm just looking for my bag. So here's one of the things that I did during COVID, right? I went and bought these like doodle books.
Coloring books.
Yeah, I heard that's coloring, good.
Coloring is super soothing. Hmm. And I also bought some art pads to just draw stuff. I can't draw to save my life, but I bought something that I just figured would test me. And my daughter and I did puzzles. So we bought this puzzle of... actually, it's called The Little Feminist.
Okay.
Right? So every day, so we took 3 days to put this puzzle together. It was a 500-piece puzzle. We took 3 days to put it together. But every single day, I got my daughter to do a paper on each of these people. So there's Rosa Parks, Frida, there's Queen Elizabeth, Ella Fitzgerald, Malala, Maya Angelou. So my daughter and I took the time to learn about all of these people. Yeah. I know that my daughter doesn't like scat. When we were learning about Ella Fitzgerald, we did some YouTube performances, and I know my daughter doesn't like that. But for me, that was soothing. I listen to jazz while I work. It's very calming and very soothing. You just have to find ways to really take... I did facials, my own facials. I created some facial scrubs mask for myself. So you have to find different ways to take care of yourself, but it's a must. But coloring books are key.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the question of Patrice. Now I know Patrice. So I want to hear her response to her self-care practices during this period.
You know what, Janice, you know you want to put me in a corner here, but you were so deliberate. You know that I haven't done half of what Julie's done. But I want to give a big shout out to Namini. Namini is actually one of our stars in the hospitality industry. Thank you, Namini, for your question. One of the major things I've done is actually I've started exercising again. And it begins for me at 5 in the morning. So I'm up at 4:30 and I'm out the house at 5. And I do that 4 days a week and I go hiking on weekends. So I have to say last week I was like, you know, your mental space changes when you feel, you know, a certain way. Yeah. So, you know, I was stepping a little bit last week. But yeah, I started doing that. It's something I haven't done for quite a number of years because I was, yes, Janice, so caught up and really not taking care of myself. And over the past 3 months, I've really gotten into the rhythm of it. And that's my moment. I can tell you, laying on a exercise mat at 5 in the morning in the open air, because it's an open air exercise, I've seen several shooting stars. So before we even start working out, I take that moment to just take in the morning, and I have to do it every morning. It's just such a great release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. let me add my routine. My routine has been walking in the mornings. It's to podcasts. I am in love with my garden. I host all of my garden. I'm in love with my garden. There's nothing like getting your hands dirty, well, with gloves on, because I'm a bit of a princess still. Think of the nails. But there's nothing like putting your hands in the dirt and seeing, like, I had a big pumpkin. I grew a big pumpkin, butternut squash, okra, tomatoes. There's just it's just nice going out there. And I won't talk about the rat capturing because that's another piece. That's another thing I've perfected. But, you know, I've learned a lot about myself during this period. So, like you said, and even though it seems to be, I don't know about you guys, but I work for myself, and now I found myself working even harder because I don't seem to have that demarcation between when work begins and work ends because I'm always in relatively the same space. You know, but I'm always in the same space. So I struggle with trying that everything blends into one basically. Mm-hmm. You know, so and I know from a mental perspective that the days I turn around to my husband, I said, I can't think today. I need something that doesn't involve my brain. Literally.
I can relate.
Yeah. Yeah, I do not want to use my brain. And that's when I'm in the garden and you'll find me there. When, as my sister-in-law calls me Hiawatha, because I have a bandana around my head. I have a raggedy T-shirt. Please, nobody call me during the time because I don't hear nothing. I'm just listening to the birds and I'm under my mango tree and I've got my trowel. You know, I'm happy.
I'm happy.
Just a quick comment here from Camille. He said, I don't know how I reach here, but OMG, this is a blessing.
Hi, Camille.
Hi, Camille.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining us, Camille. Feel free to ask a question. We're wrapping up. We've got about 5 or 10 minutes before we start wrapping up with the ladies. Mm-hmm. So we've talked about your self-care. We've talked about responsibilities and change of work. But do you think, looking at this now, do you think this whole period or COVID has impacted your careers in any way?
Go, Patrice.
Okay. Good or bad?
So, I actually think, and I said it to many persons in talking, this is actually a moment in time where I think it's make or break you as a leader. Yeah. Now is the time based on your interaction with your team, your interaction with your senior teams, what defines you. So for me, I don't think about it a lot, but my goal, and I'm happy to meet someone like Julie, because for me, it really is people first. I think if you give everything to your team, they will give back to you. Yes. So even in the moments when, you know, one of my team members, her dad actually passed during the pandemic, and I was like, you know what, take whatever time, you know, you need. I mean, you can't put another level of pressure on two persons during such a difficult time. So for me, I think it's been positive, because one of the things during this environment is that everything is falling apart and you have to rebuild it.
Yes.
So there's so much that I'm learning in this environment. So, you know, in the organization that I work for, we deal with unions and, you know, we deal with insurance companies and so on. So we're looking at everything, and everything is being redesigned, and everything is being looked at from a different perspective. So I am learning so much that I wouldn't have fast-tracked into that type of learning if this hadn't happened.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think I'm growing. I think my team members as well, they're growing also. And it's been overall positive. For me, I'm just trying not to fall back into get stuck in work, and not taking care of things. Even though we're back in the office, I'm forcing myself to even work a day or two at home to not lose that kind of rhythm and just take a moment to control my time.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely mostly positive for me.
Fantastic. And you, Julie?
Yeah, definitely positive for me. I always take moments like this to celebrate my team. We are a team of three, but two amazing ladies that I work with. And during lockdown, they really took charge. And, you know, we were able to continue to recruit during lockdown. My office manager, she went in, she made a video of the entire office so to help with the onboarding process so that new employees would know what the building looks like before they get there. My assistant, who works directly with me, she was able to find a lot of free online classes, tutorials where people were teaching younger children, and she shared those with the staff. Before online school happened here in Barbados, she had found other people who were teaching. And I think it's caused us to really recognize the importance of getting creative. We have always strived to have a people first culture, but it's helped us to step a little bit more outside the box, go a little bit more above and beyond, and recognize that the services that we're offering our staff do not need to be tied to policies, don't need to be tied to legislation. We always want to go above and beyond that. And that's what helps us to create people first cultures, right? But in addition to that, from a personal perspective, for me, this has been a very fulfilling time. I've met so many people in my HR community. I've been able to have opportunities to talk about what I do, my experiences as an HR professional. I started to write my book. I have been enjoying interviewing people on my podcast, which has really taken off. And so there, I've recognized that, you know, Julie outside of work can have a life as well. And it can be amazing. And, you know, there are a lot of people who just helped to push me and propel me here. And I really believe that I personally have come out better for it. And I want other people to benefit from it as well. I think that my children have come out better for it.
Yeah.
And, you know, my relationships with my family have come out better for it as well.
But,
yeah, it really has been a rewarding and still a curse. I did lose a couple family members in the UK to COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And that was very hard for me because most of my family live in the UK. Normally I'd be back and forth and I couldn't do that. So I still had to deal with that from a mental health perspective as well. But outside of that, it's been truly a rewarding time for me as a woman with a career that can be very taxing and demanding. I think I'm still here.
Virtual hug. And what I've heard from both of you there is really about having the mindset. Because you have choice, we all have choices. We can either have this fixed mindset where we choose to stay where we are and see the worst in something, or we can take the growth mindset and look at, okay, certainly from my perspective, is where's the opportunity? You know, and what does that look like? How can I do that? I have fairly, it's impacted my business as an entrepreneur, because obviously organizations have closed down. But on the other hand, like Julie, it's opened up new doors, you know, because people are realizing we can now do stuff virtually, which is what I do. And I've been like, yes, you can do this, you know. So it's opened up a lot of doors. So I think it's great that you both have that growth mindset. It's just fabulous. So whoever's listening, that's where you need to be having that growth mindset. Now, just wrapping up, one last question is, what one piece of advice could you share with a working mom adjusting to working in these new conditions? What's the one piece of advice you could share?
I would say take it one day at a time. Every day is not the same, and don't compare yourself to other people. So like, while you're hearing our stories and you don't feel like you're doing enough, don't do that to yourself. Yeah. Comparison is a thief of joy.
Yes.
And so I would say just take it one day at a time. Your story is your story. Your chapter is your chapter. And if you're doing what you believe is the best that you can do, that's good for you. That's good for you. Even if that's just getting your kids up, getting them food, getting them to school, you know, whether it's homeschool or whatever it is, if you're giving them all the love that you can possibly give right now, then let that be enough. That's okay.
Yeah. Patrice?
Yeah, to add to that, I would say now more than ever, speak up. I've been, you know, guilty in the past of not speaking up and stating, this is what it's going to take for me to be okay. And this is how you can get the best out of me. And now is the time to speak up and, you know, have those conversations, because you're not the only one going through it. And the rest of the world is, it's like the best time, you know, for you to kind of, you know, put yourself and make sure that however the business can be aligned to you, that it will be. And just one last thing for me too is just be prepared. So like, for instance, my son's school, they showed us some videos of kids in you know, in Trinidad, even though they are in their uniform at home, the parents have created their own school environment in whatever space they can in their home. So the timetable is on the wall and their desk and in their uniforms and so on. Because, you know, we don't know what's going to happen. So I would say definitely be prepared. Get your child really comfortable in an environment at home, just like we would have a home office, let's say. I don't, but, you know, I can put a, you know, something against a wall maybe for him that he could work. And then from an from an office perspective as well, be prepared also. Yes, we're all back in the office, but pull yourself back sometimes and try to make sure you can manage the work at home. If this should happen again, because in the beginning I did not manage it well at all, and I had to find my footing. So now is the time to do test runs and get yourself ready for, you know, when you have to, maybe if you have to get into that space again.
Yeah. And I know I said this last question, but I lied. Carol Shankar, the author of the article I talked about, The Motherhood Recession, is watching us online. So hi, Carol. You know, I have my girl crush. But it was what you said about working, going back to work. And I suppose a couple of things there. You said about asking for what you want, Patrice, which is paramount. And also, Julie, from a HR perspective, is that many organizations that have adjusted adjusted their working conditions or the working arrangements for employees and per se mothers because of the situation they found themselves in. Now, returning back to work, the argument that we're turning back to business as usual can no longer stand. So the point you made, Patrice, about asking for what you want, which is something we're not very good at as women, is absolutely paramount, because the conversation or the normal response of that's not the way how we do things around here is no longer is no longer an option. So my semi-last question, we've been on for a while. What advice would you give to a woman, maybe someone who's not as experienced as us, maybe because we've been around a little bit longer, a little more experienced in that field, in asking for what we want. How would you, what advice would you give a woman in advising them to ask for what they want. That one change, maybe a working mom who's returning back to work, but that one change that will make a difference to them so they don't have to derail their career, leave work or whatever, or take a lower paying job or anything like that. What's the one thing they could do to give themselves the confidence to ask for what they want? That's the question. Mm-hmm. Got there eventually.
I had a way of, so when I was younger and I knew what my ask was, I would rehearse my ask. So whether it is that I'm talking to myself and I'm talking myself through it, or I talk to my mom through it when I was in my teenage years, first starting to work, or I talk to my husband through it. But find someone that you can have that conversation with to see, number one, if your ask makes sense and if you're articulating it correctly. Because sometimes we lose our words, we lose our footing, we get nervous when we get in front of a manager. But just remember, a manager is a human being just like you.
Absolutely.
And there's one thing that my grandmother always said to me that has always stayed in my mind and I would share. And I don't think, it's still PG, but she would always say, we all go to the bathroom and do the same thing.
Well, they're
all on the same level. So much able to have that conversation, knowing that we all, even though someone is a manager, a CEO, whatever they are, we all do the same thing in the bathroom.
Yes.
And so just knowing that you have that level of common ground gives you enough and even a little smile in between to be able to say, I can have this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's always about buying out the time and finding the right time to give your ask. So yeah. If you understand your manager and you have in whatever your dynamic is, just pick the right time to have that conversation and give your ask. But this is not business as usual.
Exactly.
And so you really need to, as leaders, I always point out the importance of being human. We are bringing our full human being to work every single day. And whatever that is in all of its compartments, it's important that managers recognize that and that they're open to having the conversations that they need to have. So earlier this week, I created a post about the same thing. And I said, listen, we need to be able to have those conversations with people. Even if you're pumping gas and you are a mom and your situation is such that you need support, try to switch your shift with someone who doesn't have children. If you are in the office and you're working same situation, try to switch it up, have conversations with your colleagues. And if you get the support from your colleagues, then you can take a proper business case to your manager and say, look, this person is willing, Patrice is willing to switch up with me this week and do 2 days. I will do 3 next week, or whatever the case may be. So once you understand your why, rehearse your why with someone you trust, then find the right time to talk to your manager about it. And just remember, we all have common ground, no matter what, as human beings. And that makes it easier for you to have the conversation.
100% agree. And I'm going to call it the pitch, right? So you go into your boss to make the pitch, and you can't just go in and say, I want this, as you know, as Julie said, this is what I'm requesting. But however, this is X, Y, Z, you know, that's going to make the accommodation for it to happen. And you go in prepared. Completely agree.
Fabulous, fabulous. Now, I was going to, but there's one question for Camille.
What is going on?
Don't hate, but you didn't bring such a question. Camille says she's a first-time mom and her son is currently 8 months. Her job is full-time, extremely demanding. And the thing is, she's missing out so much time. She's spending so much time at work. She feels like she's missing out on his growth and development. So her question is, how can she find the balance of being that parent? And I think COVID or not, as a full-time mom, full-time working mom, I think we've all battled with this. I think we've all battled with this. I'm trying to think way back. By then I was a single parent. So, you know, there was the juggle, there was the whole guilt, the mom guilt. the mom guilt of not being at work, but being at work and being the mother. But I had a childminder who was very cognizant of how I felt, and even if my son had walked, she wouldn't tell me he'd walked, so I'd be the first person to see it. I think sometimes it's hard to say. I think sometimes we have to accept that's what it is and try not to feel the guilt. I don't think that we're told. Personally, I think parents are told that the child will miss so much and you're going to do this, I think that's making us more guilty than what actually is. And I always try to make the time I had my children as special as possible. It's not overcompensating, but make it meaningful, you know, because there's lots of times like you, Jenny, I used to tell my kids, if you don't behave, one of us would be dead and it wouldn't be me. You know, that always used to my phrase to them, because like you said, sometimes I'm what? You know, love you, but don't like you right now. You know.
I tell my children that to this day.
I think for Camille, the first thing definitely is that what you're doing is enough. You know, because sometimes we spend so much time beating ourselves up for all the moments we've missed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've gone through some stuff. So I'm definitely that you are enough. And the moments that you are not there, don't think about those moments. The moments that you are there, make up for them and really make those moments valuable. And yes, you are working in a demanding environment, but there's anything right now that can make it a bit more flexible for you. You know, I don't know what your 8-month-old sleeping pattern is like, but you know, is it that, you know, you can come in later, you know, in the day and maybe work a little longer time in the office or extra hours because you're going in later, or, you know, just try and find ways to make your work time as flexible as possible so you can get more time at home, because very soon, you know, your child will be in daycare and so on. But, you know, try and get those flexi times and appreciate the moments that you have, and don't beat yourself up too much. You're doing a fantastic job. And just kind of work through those moments.
Absolutely. I mean, I am in full agreement with everything you ladies have said. And ultimately, I would just add from the empath aspect, forgive yourself.
Yes.
Because I think that a lot of times, if I had learned when my children were younger to forgive myself for missing certain moments, it would have made my life a whole lot easier, but I've learned that over time. You have to forgive yourself.
Yeah.
You're working because you're trying to create a life for your family, and you're trying to keep a roof over their head. You're trying to keep food on the table. And with that comes the responsibility of work. Yeah. And you have to recognize that that's a necessity that you need to take care of right now, so that when you have those moments with your child, you can really and truly enjoy them, because you know your conscience is clear. You're doing what's right by your child as a mother to work and take care. But then when you're with your child in these moments, you cherish those. And one of the things that worked for me was my mom would always say, between the ages, I had my mom, bless her, my grandmother, wow. They taught me a lot, to be honest. Very powerful women. I have very strong women in my life, and I'm grateful for that. But my mother would always say, listen to me, the child is 3 months. Child, I don't know if you're here, in here. Relax yourself. And I put it in Bajan vernacular, right? So at 8 months, the child don't know if you are there, not there, you know. Give yourself at 8 months, you know, once baby starts, I mean, yes, you have a connection from the womb that no one can ever replace.
Yeah.
You feel that child don't know you? Child knows you.
Yes.
But in terms of moments that matter, that you can share together, is one and beyond.
Yeah.
So at this point in time, forgive yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as that baby grows, continue to forgive yourself, because you're doing what you need to do. Put food on the table, put clothes on that baby's back, and get it to school, get it an education, give it a life.
Yeah. And I'll close off with a comment from Claire. Claire said, is think of work versus mom duties as glass balls versus rubber balls. At 8 months, this is a rubber ball you can drop knowing others are taking the very best care of him now as you're growing your career. So I think that's a really, that was really
nice. Claire.
Thank you.
We're going to screenshot that.
Yes, I like that. Glass ball versus rubber ball. Wow.
That was my last questions to you, ladies. So thank you so much. We did over an hour. Can you believe it? Thank you so much. We could have gone on a lot longer, to be honest. But thank you so much for your input and your support. It was lovely talking to you tonight. So thanks very much and have a good evening.
Thank you so much for having us here, and thank you for everyone for listening.
Absolutely.
So I hope you enjoyed that, and if you did, don't forget you can join the This Woman Can Network online at www.thiswomancan.coach. If you have any suggestions for the topics for the next couple of weeks from a working mom vibe or working woman vibe, please feel free to send them through to me, message me, and we will see how we go the next few weeks. With that, I'm going to wrap up and say have a great evening. Thank you so much for joining me on the new normal and the working woman.